As I mentioned yesterday, we're going to go straight to Perek Hei, because we've spoken over the first four Parakim for many years. Perek Hei begins and continues to talk about the importance of speech, of Dibur. I mean, there's countless dogmas about how important speech is. The whole Sefer Shmiras HaLoshon is full of that. But I'm going to bring out some specific nekudas. Shlomo starts this perek, Al tevar l'spicha v'libcha al yemayah l'hitzi dover l'fnei Elokim. Don't be quick. Be very hesitant to talk. And he gives a reason, Shlomo, ki Elokim ha-shamayim v'ato al ha-oretz. Strange reason. Because Hashem is in Shemayim, and you're in the Oretz. Al kain yiu dvorecha muat. And he continues with Dibur. If you go on in the Psukim, talks about Nidorim, and talks about the inyan of the inyan of Dibur. We know that in fact, the Targum Unkelus, in Sefer Bereishis, when he talks about a human being being unique, Kodesh Baruch Hu created a human being, Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. So the Targum, from all the things that you can describe a human being as being unique, he says, Ruach memalala, the ability to speak. Speech is our biggest power. And in essence, that's the way human being is elevated from all other things, even though the animals also have what they call sicha. They have some form of communication. But that's not dibur. Dibur was designated for the human being. And that's our koyach, koyach ha-dibur. And that's the reason, as I discussed the psich in the beginning of the Zman, Chazal say that somebody's menabalas piv noifel begehenim. Somebody uses nivel per, falls into gehenim. Because you're basically taking the most powerful tool that you have and you're infecting it. But the words of Shlomo Melech here don't seem to flow. What does he mean when he says, be hesitant to speak. Because Hashem is in Shemayim. If anything, that would be an explanation why you could, don't worry. You're here, he's there, it's okay, you could talk. You could plepel. But Shlomo Melech uses that, Elokim HaShemayim V'ata L'Oretz, as a reason why, no problem. It would make sense to say, don't worry. But instead, we know you go to a shul, you go to Makom Kedusha. You have to be careful what you say. During davening, it's also l'daber. The Shechina is k'negdecha, it's also l'daber. But the more you distance yourself from the Shechina, so the more you're able to talk. Even more so, we see that the Rabban Hashem created the world that you need dibur for the world to survive. Okay, so Lamashal, when Hashem created the world, says in Bereishis that there was no rain. So Rashi says on the pasuk for Adam Ayin Lavoida Savoida, Rashi says why was there no rain? Because Lo Yehoya Adam Sheispal Al Aksham. Hashem created the world that dibur is needed for the world's survival. Three times a day we have to daven to keep everything going. Dibur. Shabbos. Shabbos is Kedushas Hazman. Hashem gave Kedusha to Shabbos. Still, every single Jew has to open up his mouth and use his words to be Mekadosh Shabbos. So it's all Dibur. In the summertime we spoke that when the Torah chose a place to differentiate Nevuas Moshe from Nevuas Shaar HaNaviim, it chose Parshas Nedarim. Parasha that deals with speech. So that's, Dibur is such an unbelievably chashuv item. And it's the means of everything. That's why somebody who's a, we spoke now recently in Rosh Hashanah, that somebody who's a Eina Medaber, a person who's deaf who can't speak, has a din of a shaita. He's missing the main criteria of a human thinker. Fakert, if you have a cheresh, if you have somebody who's deaf, who's medaber, but he's in his shemaya, he's pikechu choldvav. He's actually considered a regular bardas. Again, speech. That's why there's a whole controversy in the poskim. Can a deaf person blow shofar for somebody else? Shulchan Aruch seems to hold you can't. The Rambam doesn't bring it down. So we had a long discussion about this. But the bottom line is dibur is. But what we're going to see here is an unbelievable thing. What Shlomo HaMelech is telling us. Besides for all these scattered Mamore Chazal and Psukim of the strength of dibur. And there's a scary Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim says that when a person infects their speech with Lashon Hara or anything else, that's awesome. So now they lose their whole weapon. Cherep Pefiz Biyadam. So now they don't have a Koyach HaTfilah. That's how we learn when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Och HaNoyda HaDover, when he saw they're speaking Lashon Hara, Yesh Delutra B'neim. So the Chavetz Chaim asks, Klal Yisrael were in Mem Tes Shari Tum. They were on the lowest level. One more level, they would have been an irreversible situation. Ruchnius wise. It's like in medical, you have what they call irreversible. Medically, it's irreversible. Even though we've learned that that can also be reversed. Rabbi Sapperstein can give us a lot of shiurim about how medical things could also be reversed. But there's something called irreversible. Irreversible. So Klaiso would have gone into Menta Shari Tum, they're going on to Nun, it would have been over. So Moshe Rabbeinu was thinking, hey, why are they still in Golos? I got good reason. They're in the lowest place. No. Ochen Noida Adova. So the Chavetz Chaim says such a powerful word. Chavetz Chaim says that Moshe Rabbeinu knew why we were in Golos. We were in Memte Shari Tumah. We were in the lowest level. He knew why we were still in Golos. But we davened. Why did not Tefillah work? That, says the Chavetz Chaim, was Moshe's question. Why didn't all the prayers of Klal Yisrael work? Sometimes you daven to Hashem, right? You wonder why he's not answering. Why isn't he doing what you're asking? So the Chavetz Chaim, Yesh Lutra B'neim, if there's Lashon Hara, comes out, the mouth is infected, so now the mouth can't, doesn't have the Koyach HaTfilah. That was so Moshe wasn't saying, oh, because of Lashon Hara. Because Lashon Hara, they lose their Koyach of speech. Lost the Koyach of speech, maybe they couldn't get it. I said, stop the Chavetz Chaim. Anyway, what I want to bring out to you here is the impact, the unbelievable impact of speech. And when Shlomo HaMelech says, because Hashem is in Shemayim and you're in the Oretz, he's really saying the opposite of what you think. He's not trying to say, Hashem is there and you're here. He's trying to say that with your speech, you can actually affect the future. You know, people say, Al tiftach pel asad. Don't say something bad. I'm going to show you a couple dugmois. I'll start off by telling you, I want to stick to the schedule because I didn't even have time to teach Pekiyas yesterday. We'll stick to the schedule. What the schedule is, that's a shiloh, but we'll stick to the schedule. The Reb Chaim Berlin, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the son of the Netziv, the older son of the Netziv, Yeshivas Chaim Berlin is named after him. He was a Rav in Moscow. And later on, he became the Rav of Yerushalayim. It's hard to believe how much that man accomplished. Forgetting in Moscow. Moscow, he was a Rav for quite a few years. But you know, we hear from Chaim Berlin, he was the chief Rav of Yerushalayim, of the Ashkenazim Yerushalayim. You know how much he accomplished. You know how long he was Rav in Yerushalayim? From 1909 to 1912. 3 years. So all the things about Chaim Berlin, what he did in Eretz Yisrael, till today, it's riding on Chaim Berlin. He was a Rav in Yerushalayim for 3 years. All of that accomplished. His very closest friend was another very Choshev of Valozhinel, the Rav of Pittelberg, Reb Itzel Pettelberg, the famous Reb Itzel Belzer. They were best of friends. And they made a deal with each other. Whoever dies first is going to come back to the Olam HaEmes and going to tell the other one what's going on up there, you know? Tzaddikim are worried about what's going on there. The people that are not worried, they look the way they look because they're not worried. But the tzaddikim, the ones that you think have least to worry about, Reb Chaim Berlin have much to worry about, he was worried. And they made a deal with each other. And the way the Ashgacha had it, Reb Mitzel Paterberg died first. He died in 1907. He died several years before Reb Chaim Berlin. So he died 5 years before Reb Chaim Berlin. Obviously, he came to Reb Chaim Berlin in a dream. And he told Reb Chaim Berlin, it took a while for him to come, and he told Reb Chaim, Chaim, Shemayim doesn't let me come down, really, to this world, to start telling you what's going on there. It's top secret, everything. And I really can't. But you have a mitzvah you did. Because of that mitzvah, they said I could tell you one thing. What was that mitzvah? Chaim Berlin had if we filled up this whole room with his mitzvahs, he had many more. When Reb Chaim Berlin first became Rav in Moscow, so a knock on his door, 2-3 in the morning, the shamish didn't want to open up the door. It's 2-3 in the morning. The one who took care of Reb Chaim Berlin's house, just let the guy let it. I do that sometimes. A couple calls me emergency, Shalom Bayis. I let it sit. Why do I let it sit? Sometimes the couple working at themselves. You have to always, sometimes you feed the problem when every time somebody has a machlekes, they have to come to you. You have to learn how to, I wait 2 days, then I call them back. I took care of it. If it's not going to take care of it, I'm going to hear about it anyways. I don't have to worry. It resolves itself. And then they become experienced. The next time they know how to work things out themselves. Instead of every time you need a referee, the rabbi to go work everything out for you. You got to learn how to work things out yourself. So this shamish figured this emergency could probably wait. Some guy, he just may believe he didn't hear. But the guy didn't stop. Banging and banging and banging. So the shamish has no choice. He opens up the door. He was already sleeping. He comes to the door half asleep. He says, what in the world do you want? There's a guy at the door. The guy didn't even look Hamish. He didn't know who he was. He was actually hesitant. The guy said, I must speak to the Rav now. He said, the Rav, 3 in the morning? The Rav's probably sleeping. Has to be an emergency. He said, it is. He says, tell me what the emergency is. I can't say. Only the Rav I can tell. Can't tell. He didn't even know what he should do, but the guy was mamish not budging. Okay. He went to the study of Reb Chaim Berlin. Reb Chaim Berlin was still learning. No problem. Went to Reb Chaim Berlin. He said, Rabbeinu. Somebody in the door. Reb Chaim said, let him in. He comes in. The man looked like he went through who knows what, the war zone. He looked depressed and down. Reb Chaim Berlin says, what's the story? He says, a week ago, my wife had a baby boy. Okay, that sounds great. I figure maybe the baby died. He said, how's the baby? Baruch Hashem. And your wife? Everything's fine. So what's the problem? Tomorrow morning has to be a bris. Great! Gewaldig! What's the problem? He says, Rabbi, I have to admit to you, I've been strayed away from the derech for many years ago. I come from a religious background, but slowly, it wasn't easy in Russia to remain from Jew. And then I got a parnosa from selling idols and ornaments, religious ornaments and icons. He says, and as far as my customer base is concerned, I'm a Gentile. Nobody knows I'm Jewish. There isn't one soul that knows I'm Jewish. And I live in a Gentile community, and it's as goyish as goy can be, and if they would find that I'm a Jew, surely I'll lose my parnosa, possibly they would kill me. Who knows? They would look at me like a traitor. I don't know. He says, anyway, he says, but I know that we're a chosen people. And I know that I'm doing the wrong thing every day. And here Hashem blessed me with a boy. I want that one day, I can't bring him up like a religious Jew. But I want one day he should be able to return. And I feel if we give him a bris now, he'll be able to somehow one day return to Hashem. So I beg of you, Rabbi, think of something. Chaim Berlin is thinking. It's too dangerous. He can't send any of his moyolim to go do a bris. The guy can also get killed. The moil could get killed. Chaim Berlin says, give me your address, we're going to think of an etzah. Reb Chaim Berlin himself was a moil. He dressed up like a doctor. And he sent a message, he's coming to inspect the infant. So he went, he looked like a Gentile. He's a doctor. He's coming to do an examination. Anyway, during that examination, he said it was a pachat pachadim, the house looked like what he expected to look like. A guy is doing business like this. He did the bris. And also given the bris. So, if you want to know the end of the story, Agav Urcha, many years later, Chaim Berlin was in Yerushalayim. When this guy told him the reason why he wants the bris, he told him, I want you to know you answered a pasuk in Shir HaShirim for me. The guy looked at him like, I don't know what Shir HaShirim is. He said, you answered a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. He said, what pasuk did you answer? He said, the pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Klal Yisrael, Einayich Kiyoinim. Kulach Yofach. Einayich Kiyoinim, your eyes are like a pigeon. He says, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, I never knew why do we compare the eyes of Klal Yisrael to a pigeon. The Gemara says in Bava Basra that a pigeon never goes far away from its nest, that it can't at least turn around and see its nest and come back. He says, you taught me that. That you don't want your son to get too far, that he shouldn't be able to come back. That's Pshat Einayich Kiyoinim. Fast forward many years later, maybe, who knows, 45 years later in Yerushalayim, Chaim Berlin used to read Shir HaShirim. He was about Kriya. He read the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And in the middle of Shir HaShirim, Chaim Berlin reads this Pasuk. And somebody in the tzibur starts crying, uncontrollably crying. And after he finishes crying, then Chaim Berlin starts crying. And it became from reading Shir HaShirim to a crying process, crying ceremony. That guy was the one who got the bris from Reb Chaim Berlin. He became a frum yid, and he davened by Reb Chaim Berlin. And Reb Chaim Berlin heard him crying. He knew who he was. He started crying himself. So Reb Itzik Belzer told him that when you were moisa nefesh for another yid, and you're the rov of the city, it wasn't your achrayas. This person was fry, it was dangerous. Shemayim said that I have a right to tell you the main thing that the Tevei and Shemayim, Lachamei Avesra, what is that? One word. Dibur. Could you imagine? That's it. That was the message that Reb Itzik Belzer came down to this world to be able to tell Reb Chaim Berlin with his big schusim. Dibur. The main thing in Shemayim is Dibur. That's what they judge you on. Dibur. That's the Koyecha Dibur. So now let's see what Shlomo HaMelech means here. Pasuk says, Ki ata b'oretz, Elikim is b'ashamayim and ata b'oretz. Really what Shlomo HaMelech is telling us is not separate, the opposite. You on earth affect Shamayim. Your words on earth, don't diminish them, they affect what Shamayim is going to do. And I'm going to tell you, read you a Gemara, which Chazal bring down. Gemara Ma'id Katan. Pinchas Achved Amar Shmuel Yisro Bamilz. Shmuel had a brother. His name was Pinchas. Pinchas lost one of his relatives. Right? Pinchas lost one of his relatives. It could be that they were brothers only from one side, and he lost a relative from the other side. Right? So let's say they shared fathers. He lost, let's say, somebody from his mother's side who was not related to Shmuel. Shmuel came to be Menachem Avol. Yisro ben Milsa, old Shmuel and Mishmuel ben Minei. So Shmuel came to be Menachem Avol. His brother is sitting Shiva for one of his relatives. He wasn't sitting Shiva. He went to Menachem Avol. He saw that his fingernails were long. Chazinu l'turfei davin efisha. Now an Avol is not allowed to cut his nails. So his nails were long. Obviously, those days they were more particular with nails. A lot of people today don't cut their nails every week. But they used to keep their nails very short. Look, they used to take haircuts every week. So in the mail, he saw his nails were long. So he told him what's going on. Why didn't you cut your nails? So obviously, at that point, it wasn't 100% kavua not to cut nails. He had to cut nails. But he took it as a slight. Pinchas took it as a slight. It's being mezalzel in his avelus. He's an oval. That's why he's not cutting his nails. Omalei, ibedidav, mezalzel bakulahai. And if you were an oval, would you be mezalzel in the union of the nails? Yeah, no, it's lul. Have rachmanis on me. Havi kishkogo sheyotza mipi hashalit v'isra bo milse. Hel tagimare. Shmuel came home and he lost one of his relatives. He became an oval. Bris krusilus fasayim. So the Gemara doesn't say he became an oval because maybe he wasn't so sensitive to Pinchas. He became an oval because Pinchas used the words, and if you'll be an oval, bris krusilus. Obviously, it's not so simple. Obviously, it doesn't mean that anybody could say whatever they want and hurt another person. But it means that speech impacts. And the Gemara continues, and it's even scarier what the Gemara says here. The Gemara says, the Omar Abyechanan, how do you know Bris Kusel is Vasayim? We all know there was Akedas Yitzchak. We all know Hashem told Avram to put him on a Mizbech. We all know that they ended up coming back, Baruch Hashem. And you and I are here to say the story, right? Because if Yitzchak would have been Geshachm, L'chayr, we wouldn't have been here. Right? It could be somebody else would be here, but we wouldn't have been here. We'd been a Yitzchak. Right? The Gemara says, you know why he came back? Because Avraham Avinu said, V'nishtachave v'noshuva aleichem, istayim milsa dodo chaz. Chas v'sholom, if Avraham would have said, we're going to go and only some of us are coming back, or only I'm coming back, because Avraham went with Yishmael. He could have said, we're going and I'll come back. He didn't say that. He said, we're coming back. Because he said, we, so that affected, that impacted. That's the koyach ha-dibur. Dibur has that koyach. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Yehu HaMelech ended up not being a tzaddik, even though his kingdom started, Hashem told him he's a tzaddik, he said, Eilu. So why didn't he end up being a tzaddik? The Gemara says, because of his own words. The Gemara says, Sanhedrin Kuf Beis, we spoke this out when we were learning Sefer Malacha. The Gemara says that when he was trying to collect all the idol worshippers. So he may believe he's also idol worshipper. He said, Achav did a little Avodah Zarah, I'm going to do a lot of Avodah Zarah. That way he gathered up the priests. So he was being a faker. But since he used those words, he ended up going off. That's a koyach adim. Zok shloim ha-melech. Ato al-ohorez ve-lekim ha-shamayim. He's telling you Hashem is listening to your words. And your words will impact Shemayim. Your words can actually impact what happens in Shemayim. And Rabbi said, there's countless dugmois. I'm just sharing with you some of the more powerful ones. There are countless dugmois of the koyach, the power of speech. And that's why I can't emphasize enough to you, especially with holding Chodesh El. This is the zman for all of us to be makabel. That not only the Rimi Gash, this I have to share with you, and then we'll end with this. The Rimi Gash says that we know there's a Gemara called Adonis Chaveri Lekav Schus, Donim Oyser Lekav Schus. That if you judge somebody else favorably, Hashem will judge you favorably. Okay. Famous question the Balei Musar asked. What do you mean Hashem judge you favorably? There's no doubts in Shemayim. Right? By us, human beings, we could say judge somebody favorably because you don't really know. You see somebody do something, you don't know the history behind it. You don't. So you could judge them favorably. You could go ahead and judge them favorably. There was a maaser recently by Reb Chaim where a guy came to Reb Chaim Mamish, yelled at him because he was on a plane. And he was on the plane, he noticed that there was a Rosh Hashiva on the plane who he heard about. And every time they wanted to do something on the plane positive, this Rosh Hashiva wouldn't be involved. They went to make a minion for Shachris. Coach Trump, I'm like, I'm not interested. He didn't say, I'm not interested. He said, thank you, but no thank you. Came again for Mincha. Every tefillah, there was one of these flights where they had minyanim on the plane. Sometimes you go, you don't have any minyanim on the plane. It depends what time you leave. It was one of these flights where they had minyanim on the plane. By the end of the flight, the guy admitted to Reb Chaim that he thought this Rosh Hashiva is not such a ay. Right, maybe Rosh Hashiva is loved by Shemayim. Shemayim, you don't have to keep anything. I know people like that. They watch movies on the plane. Say, only on the plane I watch movies. Lav b'shamayim. Lav b'shamayim. So, as they're getting off the plane, the Rosh Hashiva is sitting and waiting on the plane. He's waiting for everybody to get off. So this guy goes over to him. He's waiting for his last, he wants to hear his last story. He goes, why are you waiting here? He says, well, he was on the plane because his mother died. And his mother was on the bottom. He was oimim. He's also to daven. He was not allowed to daven shachar. He was not allowed to daven mincha. He was not allowed to daven. And that's what. And this guy was just telling Reb Chaim like into Santa Maisa. Reb Chaim says, what do you mean? I'll pidin you a mechuyev to assume that. So he says, so he tells Reb Chaim, because this other guy was also a Talmud Chach. He tells Reb Chaim, I should assume somebody's an oimim. That's a bad thing. Reb Chaim said, Chayla me'ayim. So assume he has a stomachache. And he's not allowed to daven al pidin. Assume anything. Don't assume he's not davening. So everybody asks, how could the reward be that Hashem will judge you favorably? Hashem knows. By Hashem, there's no doubt. Hashem knows if you're a chayla me'ayim or you're not a chayla me'ayim. If you're not a chayla me'ayim, Hashem can't make believe you're a chayla me'ayim. Says the holy Rimigash. The Balei Musa have different tirutz. The Rimigash says that when you're dan somebody else l'kav schuz, that turns his din l'schuz. You impact the other person. And therefore Hashem will change your din. It's not just you judge somebody favorably. When you see somebody else and you now decide to think positively about them, even inside speech, this is not even something you tell somebody else, it's what you're thinking. That impacts them. And Hashem now judges them favorably, more favorably. And k'shem that, he'll be judging you favorably. The same vein. Okay, stop here.